Are you following the hero's journey in your personal life? Today's episode is part two of the hero's journey for writers. Don't go anywhere. Your best writing life begins in 30 seconds.
Do you want to go deeper in your faith even while you're on the go? No matter how busy the season you're in, Access More has a library of faith-based podcasts to help you grow spiritually. With podcasts from Christian thought leaders such as Christine Kane, Lisa Harper, Taryn Wells, and Bob Goff, you can hear podcasts on religion, culture, family, entertainment, and so much more. Access More gives you a safe space to find inspiring conversations about faith. Start listening today at accessmore.com.
Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb, and each week I bring you tips and strategies from experts in the writing and publishing industry to help you excel in your craft and beyond. I am so very glad that you're listening in. During this episode, we'll examine the continuation from the hero's journey for writers. The last time we were together, we covered part one. It was an overview of the hero's journey and personal application. Today, we look further at defining your hero's journey. My industry expert is A.E. Jackson. Andrew writes uncanny speculative fiction for your enjoyment. He believes there are malevolent forces just below the surface tugging us all down. He knows another force more benevolent than we deserve. And this force works to keep us buoyant. He reads Ray Bradbury, Shirley Jackson, Roald Dahl, Stephen King, Paulo Coelho, Richard Matheson, H.P. Lovecraft, and Richard Bach. He lives in Delaware and is married with two children. Andrew Jackson, welcome back to Your Best Writing Life.
I am so glad to be back, Linda. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is good. And I know that our listeners, they spent some time in that first episode, and we're getting great responses off of that. So we're going to kick right into part two of the hero's journey for writers. We're going to further define our hero's journey and give a little bit of some kind of nuts and bolts kind of things just for where we are right now. So if you would, please, how do you define your own hero's journey?
Right. So this can be a difficult moment when you start to realize that you can be the hero of your own story. What you have to do, though, is begin to view yourself as a hero. And that's difficult for many of us because we've never been put in that position, right? We're just another person. We're just going about our business. So when we see ourselves as just everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill people, it prohibits us from taking part in what maybe God is calling us to be part of a more grand story, a larger epic, more purpose that he has for our lives. But you must believe that you are the hero of your own story. You only have one life to live, right? And it's your life. No one else can live the life that you lead. And that's an interesting reality about this whole thing that we call life, right? The experience, Linda, that you're having, right, as a female podcast host, writer, speaker, I'll never be able to experience. My experience with life as a male father, uncanny fiction writer, nonprofit radio station working, marketing guy, you'll never be able to do that. Right. It's each of us, our own unique story. And so none of these stories from everybody that you look at, from the car driving beside you to the people that are behind you in line at the grocery store, none of them are ordinary lives. They're all heroes. They're just waiting to be tapped and unlocked. Donald Miller, who we spoke about before, he points out that God's plan for this world is to save many lives. That's what he's all about. He wants to save many lives. He does it throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he'll keep doing it until he's done with this whole thing he's put together. You can participate in God's plan by aligning your subplot with his main storyline. And to do that, you have to begin thinking and acting like a hero on a journey. So this means defining who you are and what you want out of life, right? Because in a story, we've heard this 1,000 times, in a story, a character is someone who wants something and overcomes conflict to get it. Once you begin to see yourself as the lead character in your own story, the hero of your story, then you can begin to unpack your desires and your dreams and pick which journey you want to take. You'll discover that some of those desires and dreams are not yours. They were things that have been forced on you by society or even well-meaning family and friends. But if you do the personal exploration and self-analysis to uncover those desires and dreams buried deep in your heart, you'll find the journey that you're supposed to step off on. I find actually, Linda, 2 Bible verses that work hand in hand for the believer in this way. Okay. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Right away, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not a magic genie in a bottle. Hold on. Right. That's where the second verse comes in. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So to me, these verses show that when we find pleasure in doing the things of the Lord, as we draw nearer to him, the things we desire become the things that he desired in the first place.
Yes.
And then he will place all the things that we desire in our hearts into our hands. Because our hearts are aligned with his heart and the things he wants to accomplish in this world.
Mm. And he does. He knows the desires of our hearts. And as you said, we must seek him first. Get in alignment with Father and watch what he can do. Watch what he has ready for you and how he wants to bless you in your journey. Fantastic. Fantastic. What are the 7 aspects which comprise your personal hero's journey?
Right. So out of the gate, we've got to find a character to take the journey. Now that's going to be you. So you have to define who you wish to become. What are the values, the characteristics, the traits, the strengths, even the weaknesses and the abilities that you want to take on? What do you want to exemplify or live out in this life? You have to be aware of who you truly are right now, right? All the warts, all the ugliness, but also all those good things that God packed into you when he made you. Mm. And you have to have the courage to state it, to say, this is who I am right now, right?
Right.
Then observe its development. Hold that image of your desired future self out in front of you. And use it as a strong magnetic force to draw you forward into your hero's journey. That is defining the character that you want to become, right? Luke Skywalker just thought he worked on a water farm on a distant planet.
Right.
He didn't know or even believe or imagine himself to be more. Like he thought, oh, it'd be great to be a Jedi one day because he heard about these great knights, right? But he never took a look at himself and said, this is who I really am. This is who I want to become. What steps do I need to take to do that? And so find a character, develop a character for yourself, that character who you want to be. The next aspect is to find a passion, right? This is that part where the character wants something. So you need to want something. You have to define the thing that you really want the most. That thing is what's going to pull you onto that journey. The problem you must overcome is the conflict caused by wanting what is currently out of reach. So it's not within your reach for good reason. You're not equipped to take it on yet. You would be picking up something that you couldn't wield, right? You know, King Arthur, we've probably all seen the Disney Sword in the Stone. And, you know, you have this bumbling, skinny, awkward kid who doesn't believe that he's a king until he's equipped to believe it. And then he puts it to the test by grasping the sword. And when he draws out that sword, there's a moment where he believes he's the future king. Mm. And that sword comes out. And so you've got to find that passion, that want, that desire.
And Andrew, I'm going to step in here as well. When we're seeking that passion, we know, since Father knows our desire, he also has a passion that he wants us to explore and embrace, because that's what he's equipped us to be in his kingdom. And with that, it's not saying, I think you mentioned it before, with the negative thoughts of, oh no, you know, well, God wouldn't want me to be doing that. Or there's no way God would have me doing this. And yet if we go, wait, that's the passion that I have.
Yes.
Evidently, I need to get on with this, because this is what God has shown me. This is what he's given me, so I can't hold back, right?
He does. He does put desires in our heart, because just again, where you're living certain expressions of life, I'm living certain expressions of life.
Right.
And so if God wants to get something done down here, he could do it in an instant, in a heartbeat.
Right, right.
But sometimes he likes to use instruments to get his things accomplished, right?
Mm, right.
So we can be those instruments, and we can be part of that subplot, that side story that's going on in his big grand story. To be able to do that, though, you've got to yield, and you've got to say, look, this desire, it's not just of me. I think God might have put this in my heart. You know, search that. Find out if it aligns with biblical truth. But really, those desires that are put in your heart, you're, I believe, meant to start pursuing them, because they'll continue to develop and refine and maybe change a little as you learn things and you grow. And, you know, those desires that you're pursuing could be pulling you forward on a journey God intended for you in the first place.
Amen. Amen. So, good.
So you find that passion, you find what you want. Okay, step three, find a guide. You are going to need a guide. And relating all of this to writing, because we're writers, right? This isn't just about pie-in-the-sky dreams and goals and things. If you find that passion that you want, a good recommendation, maybe that passion is to write a novel, right? So you need to get a certain number of words done a day. You need to develop an outline, perhaps, or you need to come up with a good, you know, a good story structure for what you want to present to your reader. Okay, put something, a task that has to be accomplished towards your goal, ahead of a pleasure or a hobby or a reward, right? So now you're establishing hurdles between what you want, the finished novel, and these hurdles, writing X number of words, outlining, submitting, getting it edited, right? All these dirty words now that I'm throwing out there. So you have all these hurdles that you have to overcome, and then give yourself a little reward, right? But those hurdles are going to help you to reach what you want in the end, that big passion that's drawing you forward. Finding a guide, step three, the writer who is accessible to you at this stage in your journey. I can't tell you how many famous writers I've written to say, I am a writer and I would love for you to teach me everything you know. Right. Only to be like, I'm sorry, you really aren't there yet. And it's all right. But you need to find someone who's accessible to you at this stage of your journey. And believe it, there are plenty of people who are just a rung ahead of you or two rungs ahead of you that are eager to, they've reached a certain plateau in their journey. They're eager to throw the ladder back and teach what they've learned.
Amen.
They've tried, they've failed, they've learned, they've finally succeeded. They are able to give you the insight, direction, and correction that you need.
Amen.
Make sure that they're trustworthy and caring with your dream, though. You don't want to trust them, just anyone that you meet. So find a good guide. And then number four, find a plan. Putting together a plan, like putting together a map to a treasure, you want to work from the goal backwards. You want to say, like, this is where the treasure is. okay, we've got to get over the lava fountain. We've got to get through the treacherous jungle. We've got to make it through the dry desert. And we've got to, you know, land on the shore here of this island. What does that five-year plan look and feel like? If it's huge and audacious, then break it down. Look at it annually. Look at it quarterly. Look at it monthly. Get it down to daily action. And then act as those milestones on the journey and not rigid constraints, right? You don't want these things to be so rigid and forceful that they take the joy out of this exploration. You want them to be milestones.
Amen.
All right. My daily task is X number of words, or to journal my ideas until I meet new characters. Fine. Have fun with it. Start reaching those daily goals, then produce a monthly goal. Start reaching monthly goals, then set a quarterly goal. You're growing. You're not expected to be what you want to be at the outset of your journey. You are growing into what you'll become. So
good.
So then you need, with a plan, step five is to find a journey. And you're like, well, I thought my plan was my journey. I thought I'm stepping into that and I'm walking it out. A journey is a little different. Your journey is the action that you're going to take. It's a very first step followed by many others, many, many, many others. The journey is long. Your plan is just what you think you're going to do, right? I know you've seen Indiana Jones.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So Indy had no idea that his father, right, was going to be tied up in a German castle when they finally got to meet up again. They had no idea that how they were going to get out of the flaming room. They had no idea what they were going to do. I mean, the plan changes, everybody. But the journey, right, it's made up of many, many steps along the way. And so find that first step that others have already followed. The start of the journey might be defined by an inciting incident, to write a specific piece, to pull a collection of your stories together, to try a new genre or a length, right, that you've never accomplished before. Take that first step. Make it a definable accomplishment. And then these journey steps will be a series of trials where you continue to add to your strengths and your abilities on the larger journey to become a writer, right? These smaller inciting incidents will have outcomes that empower you. They layer you with strength to further your life as a writer that you want to be. So each of your small journeys should have its own goal, success, and failure milestones.
Nice.
Okay. The sixth step is to find a goal or to set that success, you know, like what does success mean? Lay out the triumphant outcome for your journey to become a writer. Feel every emotion and how it looks to live out that scene. This is a good one. Write it out in a letter to your champion, and I'll explain what a champion is later, but write that letter to your champion in which you're experiencing the thrill and the reality of living your dream, that you have now become a writer. And then find your failures. Lay out what the devastating outcome of your journey would be if you fail to become a writer. This is important too, because if you study the hero's journey and you look at it as a story structure model, you get to this point where it's this inflection point in the story. And the hero could either be a great success, and the author has to paint out what success might look like, or they could be a great failure, and this is all that they risk if they fail. And so that sets up that huge risk in the reader's mind. They're like, oh my gosh, if he fails, it's all lost, right? The world, it'll be lost, it'll be destroyed. If they succeed, we get it all. You have to do the same for yourself. Define what the goal or what the success looks like, and write that out. Live out that scene on paper. Define it for yourself. Imagine it. And also do the same for the failure. When you write out that letter to your champion, you're going to experience the defeat as a reality. That failure to become a writer who you really want to be. Maybe it's like writing your own obituary of remorse or regrets and dying with that song still inside of you.
Folks, I'm just really led to share this right now. It may be that for some of you, you're like going, okay, well, this sounds like, you know, I'm in control of everything that's going on in my life and I have the ability and I'm going to toss this word out there just because someone may be thinking, is this kind of a new age thought? Is this kind of something where it's all about me? I have my own power. I have the ability to do everything, da 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 da. Well, I want us to step back for a moment and hear what Andrew said first. He goes, no, what we have to do is we have to consider first Matthew 6:33. We have to seek God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek him, ask him these things. And we know in scripture, without a vision, the people will perish.
Yes.
If we are not allowing ourselves to live an unconstrained life of possibilities with the Spirit in us, we're really restricting God in our lives. We're restricting the possibilities of the Holy Spirit because we're saying, no, I'm not all that in a bag of chips. And he's like, but this is what I have for you. This is what I have ahead of you. And it's more than you can imagine. And if we just said, okay, what if I start imagining what could be more than I can imagine? And understanding the failure, you know, one of the things that I have found in when I would work with parents, I said, if we allow our children to fail well, they realize they'll always get up. And one of the ways to do that is to picture what would that failure look like? What is the worst case scenario? What would happen? And if all that you envision is all that's going to happen, shy of, well, it could kill you. Well, then that's a whole different subject. We're not even going to go there with that one. But it's understanding we're not to walk in fear. Father did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us one of vision, of the ability to accomplish more than we could ever imagine in and through him. And that's what I'm gaining from Andrew. And that's what I'm gaining from this concept of our own personal hero's journey. And I think that it's very, very powerful. Andrew, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Linda. I don't want anyone to walk away to think that this is a name it and claim it kind of thing.
Amen.
This is you know, like you said, new age, or this thought that you can just define what you want and eventually it will come. This is work.
Right.
This is effort. But it's also that you are being honest with yourself, shortcomings and strengths.
Amen.
You're taking an evaluation of the equipping that you've received so far, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, physical, and you're taking an equipping of all of that, and you're saying, okay, what life experience do I want to have? I could just wallow along like we see in so many movies, right? Reluctant hero is just muddling along, nothing's going his way until he gets the call to action, the call to adventure.
Right.
And he can refuse the call, but often when they refuse the call, something comes along and kind of whips them and says, no, I've got you on this path. You need to get on this path.
Right.
And for me, I guess you know, this goes into a whole nother side discussion about predestination or self-will, right?
Right.
And I don't want to go off on that tangent, but I think that really God has something he's trying to accomplish here. And I agree with Donald Miller when he says God is in the business of the purpose of saving many lives. God wants to redeem as many fallen people to him by restoring their hearts through faith in Christ so that they can return to him in heaven when the day comes.
That's right.
And if that's his great purpose, and he says he gives some to be teachers He gives some to be speakers. He gives some to be singers. He gives some to be, you know, there's different parts of the body that God has equipped to achieve the outcomes he has ordained.
That's right. That's right.
And so if we're willing to be a part of the story, then we're going to play a subplot, as Donna Miller calls it, a subplot in God's story. We have our own story. Listen, I just shared the Lord of the Rings movies with my kids, right? They're at that age where they're not going to get terrified of it and sleep in my bed that night. So, you know, it's like, hey, it's time. And so we introduced them and they fell in love with the whole world that Tolkien presents.
Right.
Of course. And while we're watching it, I'm struck by the fact, like, Samwise Gamgee is one of the most amazing characters in fiction. He was this incredible friend to Frodo Baggins through the whole journey and afterwards. And do you know that Tolkien was even asked, like, about Samwise Gamgee? And he's quoted as saying that he thinks Samwise Gamgee is the real hero of the story.
Mm.
Because he's the one that went through so much, you know, like, of a character arc.
That's right.
And, you know, he was the one who played a subplot in the bigger story. But the author felt like he was the main hero.
Mm.
So anyway, you know, this is not name it and claim it.
No.
I really want you to realize that God has equipped you and called you into something he wants to accomplish.
Yes.
And that perhaps those inklings, those desires, those wishes that you feel aren't misplaced.
That's right.
Others may have told you that they're wrong and that you shouldn't go after them. And they could be. If they're not biblically aligned or if they're harmful in some way to you or others, they're wrong. But if the desires in your heart are helpful, they're biblically aligned, and they are fulfilling God's will, then I think you ought to look at them as being calls to adventure.
Amen. Amen. So good. Well, how did these, we talked about the stages, right? We talked about discovering the character, passion, a guide, plan, journey, goal, failure. Well, how do these stages continue to cycle until the journey is complete?
Yeah. So a hero's journey is nothing if not a repeated cycle.
Okay.
I know, you know, this may be true for you, Linda. It's been true in my life in the past. If I'm wrestling with a personal sin or a problem or something I want to get over and I'm asking God for help in it, oftentimes I'll go around and around and around that mountain until I'm willing to accept the help he offers or listen to his teaching and apply it to my life, right?
Right, right.
Then I get to go up to the next, like, okay, come on up the next rung of this ladder. Let's teach you more. So the hero's journey is the same way. It's repeated cycles of tests, and those tests have to be overcome. And when they're overcome, you are equipped to go further for a greater test. Every test, every hurdle, every enemy that you meet along the way is equipping you for that final big battle. Writers know exactly what I'm talking about, because all along they are going to bring their hero or their character to a point where things are going hunky-dory and then a problem arises. Mm. When that problem arises and has to be solved, they're actually, if they're a good writer, are going to equip their character with a little something extra.
Mm.
And the reader might not even understand what's going on. But when
right.
they get to the end of the story and there's the big confrontation, after a series of trials and growths and equipping, then that big confrontation at the end, that hero has a utility belt full of all the tricks and tactics and methods that they need to confront the big bad hero, to the point almost where, to steal a line from another, from a YouTube podcast, it's not much of a problem, barely an inconvenience. So, you know, they really have everything that they need, and you will too. So it's really interesting to watch how these trials, these hurdles that we face, a lot of times we want to get defeated by just looking at them. And the reality is, if you confront the hurdle and you learn what needs to be learned to overcome it, you will be well equipped for what's coming next and what's coming at the very end of your hero's journey.
Absolutely. I can see how that all would play out. And the circling the mountain, yeah, that's a trek I've made many times. So
yep.
I'm totally getting that. Totally. So what are some of the methods that we can use to uncover and define these seven aspects?
Yeah, I mean, this is almost straightforward, right? Feel it out. Practice it. Try some of these things. You won't know until you try. That's the whole point of the journey. You're being called to adventure. And so you have to take the first step. You can't even consider step 35. Just like in a book, you can't. Now, I know you can write out of order, of course, right?
Sure.
But you're as a reader or as a person watching a film, you can't read or watch, you know, chapter 35 or part 2 in a film and know what's going on. You got to start at the beginning. And so you've got to try this from the start. As you start to form some definition for yourself around those seven aspects, when you start to put pen to paper and brainstorm what those seven aspects mean for you and your journey, you'll start to define what it looks like. And so you have to then take the first step. Just like we said a few moments ago, you've made a plan. You think that's where you're going to go. But as you get out into the journey, some of those objectives might change. They might alter based on what you've learned. So you have to also be flexible and open to that change as new realizations come to light. I know when I first got started and I was defining, you know, my hero's journey as a writer, and I thought publish in certain magazines or publications because, you know, they were buzzword names and other people had achieved publishing in them. So why couldn't I? Well, as I started to uncover what it took to achieve publication in those journals or those magazines or those anthologies, I realized I didn't have the chops yet. It wasn't for me yet. And so then I started to seek out guides and companions and champions and started to work on my writing. And as I learned things, I thought, you know what? I need to join this writer's group or that writer's group. Well, I've joined groups, Linda, that were ill-fitting.
Right.
And that's fine. That means I adjust and I say, okay, great. I learned that wasn't a fit. Why wasn't it a fit? Let me look for a different group that doesn't have that, you know, that quirk or that problem or that issue. And so then I adjust and I keep moving. So I'd say, you know, what are some of the methods to uncover and define the seven aspects? You have got to look at them with as much truth as you can muster, right? Warts and hair and all.
Right.
But also taking into account all of the good things that you know are true about yourself and start jotting them down, brainstorming what those aspects could mean to your journey, and then just get started. Try.
Amen.
Feel it out and then redefine it as you go.
Amen. Amen. So good. Well, then it leads us to this place. How do you take the first step on the journey?
Yeah, that first step is a big one. Because we feel like maybe it's the first step off of a cliff and we're going to fall. I think Steve Harvey said, you know, jump and the parachute will open, right? Like, did I remember to pack one? So, you know, you really do have to get out there and get started, but I can assure you that first step isn't as big, deep, or such a steep drop off as you fear it may be. The first thing I'd recommend is to write a letter to a friend from the perspective that you've already attained your dream, right? So I did this, and it was pretty cool because I wrote this letter to an old friend of mine. We were roommates, and we knew a lot about each other, and we always confided in each other and encouraged one another. But at this point in my life, we weren't roommates anymore. We'd been apart for years and years and years. We live on different sides of the country. So, you know, I knew he wouldn't be like right up in my face witnessing this journey. So I wrote a letter, you know, dear friend, I just published my first book, right? And I talked about how I was inspired to start the journey, what I went through to reach the goal, how it feels to have reached the end of the journey and have the book in my hand. I mean, I used as many descriptors as I possibly could, because I wanted to believe that this letter was like a letter from the future, right? This was me writing from the perspective of holding my book in my hands. And then I folded up the letter and I tucked it away. And I would personally revisit the letter to give me encouragement if I felt down along the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in reading that letter, Linda, it would reinvigorate me every time. I'd be like, if I want to send this letter to him, I need to make it happen.
Mm.
Right? I don't want to let myself down. I don't want to let my friend down.
Right.
He hadn't seen that letter at any point in time along the journey. And then I wrote a few short stories. I worked on editing them. I got feedback. And then I got brave enough to submit. And I sent those stories out. And by gum, when you know it, a couple of people bit. And those stories wound up in anthologies. And I got author's copies of that book. And I wrote him a note. And I said, hey, I wrote this letter to you back when. And I am holding a book with my stories in it right now.
Mm.
And so I did get to send him that letter. But it helped pull me through, right? So writing a letter to one of your champions is a great idea. Another idea is to write a contract with yourself, okay? So this can be a little bit more teeth because you have to kind of like be accountable to yourself.
Right.
Use SMART goals to set up a commitment to yourself and then get started on that very first step of that journey. That contract can say something to the effect of, you know, I'll have a short story published, you know, in a paying publication, in a paying market in 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. That's some teeth.
That's right.
Measurable. It's got time constraints and it's, you know, it's something that you can try for and then just get started, jump off. You might find that imagining that journey is a lot easier than stepping off because imagination, it doesn't have any rubber meets the road. It doesn't have any consequences.
Right.
It doesn't have any skin in the game. That first step might be bigger than you first imagined it to be. So you just resolve, you commit, and you begin with one small first step. And if it feels like that step's too big, then scale it back. Change your SMART goal. You're writing a contract to yourself. So make it something that you can achieve and that you're going to monitor and that you will achieve. And then when you do achieve it, set a little bit bigger goal and keep going. As you learn what lies ahead of you, though, on that journey, you can adjust your expectations and your goals along the way.
My husband says quite often we need to, instead of ready, aim, fire, we need to ready, fire. And with the fire, we're going to hit something. If we're always aiming, we're never going to fire. And there's times we just, let's do it. And if we experience failure, that's still part of a forward step to achieving that next goal or to redefining. Yeah, or as you say, we can reevaluate and then move forward. But resolve, I like that. Resolve to begin. That's what we choose to do. We have our final part three is going to be coming up and it's going to wrap up our hero's journey for writers. And we're calling this Pack Your Bags for Adventure. Added this one, you're going to get nuts and bolts. You're going to be finding out more about how to plan SMART goals. You're going to be looking at tools, strong tools that we can utilize that's really going to help set up habits and goal tracking and such as that. And then also looking at some of the minor journeys and maybe some of the side quests that are in our hero's journey. You do not want to miss the final episode that we'll be bringing you. And it'll be coming around the pike really soon. So keep your eye out for that. Oh my goodness, you have done it again. Andrew Jackson, so good to have you here. And I know that we have the link in the show notes for the giveaway that you have. If our listeners would like to form a plan or they want to plan their own hero's journey for writers, they can take part in the self-led discovery course that you have available for them for free. And the link is in our show notes. So thank you so much for being here with us again.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, folks, we like to bring you something, and sometimes it's a little different because Well, we are called peculiar people, aren't we? So we are a little different. And Andrew, I think you said this in the first episode, that other people get uncomfortable with where we're going. And there's times we have to step out of our comfort zone as well, and to trust Father in the plans that he has for us, and to be willing to say, I'm going to step out onto this adventure. And this is just good equipping for that. And we'll wrap up the equipping in the next episode. Thank you, my friends, for joining us. As always, please take a moment, if you would, to share this podcast with another writer or two. Give us a star rating, post an episode review, and hit that subscribe button. We don't want you to miss any of the episodes that we have here for you. I greatly appreciate all that you have to say about your best writing life. Thank you for being part of our community. Thank you for being part of our family. And goodness, I appreciate what you are choosing to write for God's kingdom. Thank you. Thank you for being that persistent pulse out there in our communities, that heartbeat that God has given you, that passion he has given you, that you continue to sit down, to write, and to kick it out without fear. That's what we do. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on Your Best Writing Life.